I mean, I want you to imagine, just for a second, that you are standing on the edge of a rushing river, right? You're staring down at the water.
Right, just a total force of nature.
Exactly.
Yeah.
At first glance, it looks, well, entirely wild. It's chaotic, it's overflowing, crashing against the rocks. It seems like it's governed by absolutely nothing but, you know, the brutal, unfiltered laws of gravity.
Yeah, like a pure, unfiltered display of natural entropy. You look at it and just assume nature is running its course.
Right. But then you look a little closer, you adjust your focus, and you suddenly realize something startling.
What's that?
The river was channeled. Every single rock you see was actually placed there with, like, millimeter-perfect precision by an engineer. And that wild, untamed, rushing water.
Don't tell me it's fake.
Well, it's actually the result of highly calculated hydraulic engineering, designed specifically to create the illusion of natural chaos.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, that forces us to question where human intention actually ends, right?
Yeah.
And where the indomitable will of the material begins. You really start to wonder who's actually in charge of the landscape.
Exactly. So, okay, let's unpack this. We are taking a deep dive today into a fascinating 2021 painting called Agua Clara. It is piece number 11 in a truly complex pictorial series.
And it's created using fluid Liquitex acrylics, which is just a fascinating medium on its own.
It really is. And what's wild is that all of this intense, explosive energy is captured on a canvas that is surprisingly small. Mm. I mean, we are talking just 9 by 12 inches.
Which is an incredibly intimate scale for a technique that feels so sprawling. You know, you might expect a fluid pour to take up a massive gallery wall, right? But containing it to just 9 by 12 inches requires a totally different kind of focus.
Yeah, and looking closely at how this piece came together, it really sits at the center of a fierce, almost philosophical debate regarding the true nature of fluid art.
Oh, absolutely.
Because the core question we are trying to answer today is this. Is a piece like Agua Clara the result of rigorous, calculated engineering and chemical control by a master technician? Or is it a masterful exercise in humility? You know, a creator actively choosing to step back and just let organic material physics take the wheel.
Well, what's fascinating here is that to really grasp how the artist balances that chaos and control, we actually can't start by looking at the finished canvas. We have to rewind the tape.
Right, go back to the beginning.
Exactly, we have to step into the environment where it was born. And it's telling that the artist doesn't refer to their space as a traditional studio, but rather as a laboratory.
A lab. Where's it located?
In Whittier, California.
Yeah.
So you have to picture,
yeah,
this wasn't painted by someone sitting on a picturesque hillside with an easel chasing the afternoon light.
Right. It's not a romanticized setup. So the geographic and physical anchor of the entire process is this highly controlled clinical environment.
Oh, very clinical.
Which, when you trace the actual life cycle of the fluid paint from start to finish, the laboratory setting makes complete sense. I mean, before a single drop of paint is ever poured out of a cup, the process begins with millimeter-perfect physical preparation.
It's so meticulous.
It is. The artist is tensioning this 9 by 12-inch canvas, making sure it's drum tight, and then leveling it on a workbench. And they have to use absolute mathematical precision here, right? Utilizing a spirit level across multiple axes.
Because if that table is off by even a fraction of a degree,
gravity is going to act unevenly, yeah. And the entire composition will just, you know, slowly slide off the edge right onto the floor.
Gravity takes no prisoners in this medium. I mean, think about traditional academic painting. The canvas is usually mounted vertically on an easel, right?
Yeah.
If you apply paint, then maybe it drips a little, but it mostly stays where you put it. But in fluid art, the canvas is horizontal. It transforms it into a literal staging ground for fluid dynamics.
And that intense preparation extends way beyond the canvas itself, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. The artist is spending hours mixing these Liquitex pigments, water, and specific acrylic retardants in separate cups.
Hours just mixing.
Yeah, they are measuring, tweaking, and calculating the exact chemical ratios to achieve the millimeter-perfect viscosity required for the glazes they want to lay down.
Okay, I have to pause here because I really want to challenge this whole notion of fluid art as a quote-unquote free-flowing or organic process.
Fair enough.
When you break down the sheer amount of calculation happening before the art even begins, I mean, measuring viscosities, tensioning the canvas, planning out chemical reactions.
Yeah.
Isn't this artist acting exactly like an architect?
What do you mean?
Well, think about it. Mm. An architect calculates the precise ratio of sand, water, and cement on a blueprint, right?
Yeah.
They do that. So the chemical curing process of the concrete, builds the exact structural tension they mapped out.
Right, yeah.
The architect doesn't pour the concrete and just hope for the best. They engineer the environmental conditions, so the physics have absolutely no choice but to follow the plan. I feel like this artist is doing the exact same thing, just, you know, swapping out concrete for acrylic polymers.
I see why you'd make that comparison, and you are spot on about the rigorous, calculated preparation. But the crucial difference, and the reason this isn't just fluid architecture, lies in the execution phase.
Okay, what changes in the execution?
Well, an architect is fundamentally obsessed with containment, right? They build rigid formwork to trap that carefully mixed concrete. They confine it, forcing it into a predetermined shape.
Yeah, that's true.
This artist is doing the exact opposite. They use the canvas as an open laboratory. There are no walls, no formwork holding these liquid acrylics in place.
Oh, I see. So they do all the mathematical heavy lifting of an architect, but they just refuse to build the walls to trap the material.
That is the core of it, yeah. The critical phase of this entire operation happens the moment the artist physically lifts the canvas off the workbench. They have to decide the exact angle of inclination for the pour in real time. They dictate the speed at which the liquid travels just by tilting the frame.
Wow.
And most importantly, they have to decide the exact split-second moment to level the canvas again. That halts the water's flow before the final drying phase locks the image into its permanent state. So they are managing the environment, yes, but they are deliberately avoiding micromanaging the material itself.
But wait. If they aren't trapping the paint or brushing it into place, how do they stop it from just becoming a complete disaster?
What do you mean?
I mean, anyone who's ever played with paints as a kid knows exactly what happens when you mix a bunch of liquid colors together. It doesn't look like art. It immediately turns into this muted, grayish-brown, swampy sludge.
Right, it's just mud.
Exactly, it's mud. Yet looking at Agua Clara, there is absolutely no mud. The canvas maintains these incredibly deep, resonant nocturnal violets and blues.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
And sitting perfectly intact, right on top of those dark tones, are these sudden brilliant bursts of yellow. They act like these contained energy zones.
Yeah.
So how on earth is the artist preventing those liquid polymers from bleeding into a giant brown puddle?
Avoiding that swampy mud comes down to a really deep practical mastery of chemical density and pigment repulsion. Standard acrylic polymers love to interlock and bleed together when they're wet.
Right.
So to keep them separate, the artist has to trigger a very specific physical phenomenon. If you look closely at the canvas, you'll notice these striking, almost biological textures dominating certain sections.
Yeah, actually, they look like little bubbles or almost like cellular tissue you would see under a microscope. They have these really distinct rounded borders.
Exactly. Those cellular structures are the visual fingerprint of something called the Rayleigh-Taylor instability.
Here's where it gets really interesting. The Rayleigh-Taylor instability. I mean, that sounds like a concept from a theoretical physics textbook, right? Or something you'd study in astrophysics, not an art critique.
Right, it totally does. But how does a massive thermodynamic principle end up dictating the look of a 9x12 canvas in a Whittier workshop?
Yeah, how does that happen?
It is entirely grounded in fluid dynamics. It happens anytime you have two fluids of different densities colliding. The instability occurs when you place a heavier, denser fluid directly on top of a lighter one.
Okay.
So in the context of Agua Clara, the artist is basically weaponizing the periodic table of elements. Imagine a heavy pigment, like titanium white.
Titanium white.
Yeah. Titanium white literally contains heavy mineral particles. It is physically heavier than a lighter pigment, like a phthalo blue.
Oh, wow. So you have a physically heavy, mineral-dense liquid sitting directly on top of a much lighter liquid. That sounds incredibly unstable.
It is a recipe for an immediate structural collapse. The moment that heavy titanium white hits the canvas, gravity grabs hold of it and forcefully pulls it downward. It begins to sink.
Right.
But at the exact same time, all that lighter phthalo blue sitting underneath is being violently displaced. It has nowhere to go but up.
Oh, so they pass each other.
Exactly. As the heavy white sinks, the lighter blue desperately seeks an escape route toward the surface. And as the blue rushes upward, it violently ruptures the surface tension of the sinking white pigment.
That makes so much sense.
Right. That upward burst, that chemical rupture, is exactly what draws those perfectly organic, round, cellular structures on the canvas.
That completely shifts my understanding of what is happening here.
Yeah.
I mean, the artist isn't painting those microscopic bubbles with a tiny zero-gauge brush. They are literally orchestrating a physical war on the canvas.
That's a great way to put it.
They are using gravity and the elemental weight of titanium to draw the shapes for them.
Yeah, the artist is essentially delegating the creation of form to thermodynamics. They curate the chemical densities in the mixing cups, but they let the raw physics execute the final design.
Okay, but if thermodynamics and the Rayleigh-Taylor instability are the active forces physically drawing these cellular structures, it raises a massive question.
Which is,
doesn't that mean gravity is acting as a co-author? I mean, it feels like gravity has just as much claim to the final image as the artist holding the canvas.
And that gets to the absolute heart of the philosophical clash surrounding this piece. If gravity is a co-author, we have to completely reevaluate the true role of the human artist in this medium.
Right.
In the art world, you generally see two distinct ways of viewing a creator working like this. One perspective argues that because the artist meticulously orchestrates the surface tension, the friction, and the specific chemical densities in that lab, they are acting as a rigid orchestra conductor.
A conductor.
Right. Every single cellular rupture, every smooth flow of yellow over blue is viewed as a note the conductor deliberately forced the orchestra to play.
So under that view, they are just domesticating the chaos. They are taming it to do exactly what they want.
Exactly. But the alternative perspective, and the one that aligns heavily with this particular artist's own philosophy, is that the creator is not a conductor at all. They are a gardener.
A gardener. I actually really like that metaphor. Because, you know, a gardener spends hours prepping the soil. They carefully plant the seeds. They make sure the environmental conditions like water and sunlight are perfectly balanced.
Right.
But they don't stand there and manually pull the stem of the plant upward out of the dirt to force it to grow.
Exactly. They create the optimal conditions, the perfect emulsion, and then they have the profound humility to step back and let the organic material do what it is biologically coded to do.
Wow.
Within this philosophy, the water used to thin the acrylics in Agua Clara is not merely a diluent. It is not just a dumb, passive vehicle used to push pigment from point A to point B.
It becomes an active participant in the creation.
Exactly. It is treated as a live concept with its own agency. The artist has actually stated that the true artistic gesture was not intervening or micromanaging the final execution, but rather trusting the flow.
Trusting the flow.
Yeah. It is the act of accompanying the material on its journey rather than dominating it and forcing it into submission.
Trusting the material like that, though, puts the artist in such a vulnerable position. Because remember, we are talking about a small 9x12-inch space here. Everything is highly compressed.
Very true.
And there is a fascinating conceptual idea tied to the very edges of that canvas. The physical border of the painting represents the ultimate imposition of human order onto the natural world.
The frame itself.
Right. It's the artist framing the chaos and saying, you know, this is where the art stops and the real structured world begins. Yet when you engage with this piece, the artist explicitly asks the viewer to lose the notion of the border entirely.
And asking the viewer to mentally erase the border is a pretty radical statement. It suggests that Agua Clara is not meant to be viewed as a contained, isolated, precious object.
What is it then?
It's merely a captured fragment of a continuous, uncontrollable physical event. The painting is essentially a snapshot of thermodynamics in motion, just frozen in time. And if we connect this to the bigger picture, stepping back, relinquishing that final tier of control, and allowing the fluid dynamics to resolve the visual equation on their own is, paradoxically, the ultimate technical achievement.
Because it actually requires infinitely more mastery to set the conditions so perfectly that a masterpiece forms naturally rather than just micromanaging every single brushstroke.
Exactly. You are setting up 1,000 microscopic dominoes so flawlessly that they fall into a breathtaking pattern without you ever having to nudge them in the right direction.
Which brings us to the experience of actually standing in front of this piece. Because knowing the intense chemical calculations, understanding the heavy elemental violence of the Rayleigh-Taylor instability, and grasping this philosophical battle between the conductor and the gardener.
It's a lot to take in.
It is. So how are you, as the observer, supposed to navigate a piece like Agua Clara? Because fluid art can feel incredibly overwhelming when you don't know where to rest your eyes.
Well, it demands an entirely different approach from the viewer, one that requires what art critics call a patient look.
A patient look. Because the artist hasn't provided a map for you to follow.
Right. Think about how you look at a traditional academic painting. In a classical portrait or a historical landscape, the artist builds a very strict hierarchical structure.
Sure, they use lighting, perspective lines.
Exactly. They use sharp contrast to create a forced focal point. They essentially grab you by the collar and dictate your experience, like, look at the hero's illuminated face, now follow the shadow down to the sword, now look up at the looming storm cloud.
There is a clear narrative deliberately leading your eye across the canvas.
Right. But fluid art completely refuses to hold your hand like that.
Right. There is no hero, there is no sword, and there is no predefined path for your eye to take.
It abandons hierarchical structure entirely. You have to navigate the topography on your own terms. To truly appreciate it, you have to constantly shift your perspective between the macro and the micro.
And those two viewpoints are absolutely essential. I mean, if you were to stand in a gallery and take the macro view, stepping back maybe 5 or 6 feet from the canvas, the piece behaves like a sweeping aquatic landscape.
It really does.
It evokes the feeling of a slow subterranean current. It doesn't look like a violent splash of water. It has this profound serenity, like a slow process of geological erosion that transforms the landscape over centuries without making a single sound.
But the experience changes entirely the moment you step closer and take the micro view.
Yes, suddenly all that macro serenity just shatters. When you lean in and look closely at the surface, you engage directly with that chaotic cellular texture we were talking about earlier.
The aftermath of the physics.
Exactly. You see the literal aftermath of the Rayleigh-Taylor instability, where that heavy white mineral pigment crashed violently through the lighter blues.
Uh-huh.
You are looking at the frozen violence of chemical density differences. And the artist actually has a specific phrase for these tiny, intricate cellular structures. They call them minimal units of meaning.
Minimal units of meaning. That's such a brilliant way to describe them.
Isn't it?
Because it suggests that the chaos isn't actually chaos at all. It is a highly complex language. It's just a language we have to look very closely to decipher.
Right.
And this ties perfectly into the title of the piece itself, Agua Clara, which translates to clear water.
Which feels a bit ironic at first glance.
Right.
Because it doesn't look anything like a literal photograph of a clear, bubbling brook. It is completely saturated with these deep violets and bursting opaque yellows.
Well, the title is definitely not meant to be literal. It describes a specific quality of clarity.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, but it is a clarity that doesn't hit you all at once. It isn't obvious. It reveals itself in subtle layers, much like the physical layers of the acrylic retardants and pigments themselves. You have to wade into it slowly to see clearly.
I love that. So what does this all mean for you, the listener?
Yeah.
If you were standing in front of this canvas, instead of giving you a neatly packaged story and telling you exactly how to feel, the artist picks you up, drops you in the middle of a flowing subterranean river, and asks you to swim on your own.
Yeah.
They trust the material to speak its own truth, and they trust you, the observer, to find your own way through the current.
It requires an immense amount of trust placed simultaneously on the physical laws of nature and on the patience of the observer.
It really is a delicate high-wire act. To bring all these currents together, pun absolutely indented, Agua Clara, is so much more than just a pretty arrangement of spilled paint.
Far from it.
It is a profound high-stakes balancing act. It is the breathtaking result of rigorous, millimeter-perfect laboratory preparation, meeting the ultimate courage to just let go of the steering wheel.
Exactly.
It's an artist setting up the absolute perfect conditions in a clinical Whittier studio, and then having the audacity to let fluid dynamics, chemical repulsion, and the silent passage of time resolve the final visual equation.
Understanding the mechanics behind it truly changes how you have to look at the medium. The next time you walk through a contemporary gallery and see a fluid abstract painting, I really hope you don't just glance at it and see a random lucky assortment of colors.
Right. Look deeper. Look for the hidden thermodynamic battles happening right on the surface.
Yes.
Look for the heavy titanium white crashing aggressively through the lighter blues. Look for those carefully curated chemical densities that kept the colors from turning into mud.
Definitely.
And most importantly, look for the philosophical choice the artist made. That conscious decision to stop acting as the dictator of the canvas and instead let nature speak with its own unvarnished voice.
It is the triumph of the gardener cultivating the soil over the conductor forcing the notes.
It absolutely is. And that leaves us with a final thought for you to mull over long after this deep dive ends. We live in a modern world that is completely obsessed with micromanaging every possible outcome, right?
Oh, for sure.
We find comfort in our rigid borders, our carefully controlled environments, and our meticulously plotted step-by-step plans. But if an artist can create something as profoundly beautiful, textured, and complex as Agua Clara by doing the grueling mathematical prep work in the lab, and then simply having the humility to step back and trust the physics.
What areas of your own life could benefit from that?
Exactly. What areas of your own life or work might flourish if you set up the right conditions, let go of the control, and just trusted the natural flow?
That's a great question.
Maybe it's time to stop placing every single rock and just let the river run.